dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Now, let me read a couple other passages to you. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says this, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now yet another scripture I'll read to you. Luke chapter 15, verse number 8 says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now let's pray. Father, bless us now. We need your presence. Father, I want to do my part in this service. Help those listening to do their part. But God, the most important part is yours. Holy Spirit of God, reach down into this service. Help it not to be just another service, but life-changing, life-altering for someone, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. Each one of the three scriptures that I just read to you, in a moment you'll hear about them, but in each of these three cases, it is God helping someone to have a new start in their life. I was over the Christmas holidays, our grandchildren were with us and got to spend some time with us. I have a grandson by the name of Caleb, and he just turned 7 this month. And Caleb was sitting on our living room floor, and he was playing with Legos. And while he was playing with those Legos, I was watching him, and we were talking. And I said to him, I said, Caleb, I used to play with Legos. He said, Grandpa, these aren't the old Legos. These are the new improved ones. I thought that was so cute. I listened to what he said, and it got my interest up. I thought, you know, the truth of the matter is, Legos were very popular for a span of time, and then their presence almost dropped off the map completely. And then if you watch this year, there's a resurgence of Legos in the stores for sale. So I did a little research. I found an article written in the Wall Street Journal about Legos. And this is what it said. It said they were one of the predominant toy-producing companies in the United States of America, and they started in 1932. And then, when the electronic devices became popular, children stopped building with Legos, and they started playing with electronic devices. And they, in 2004. In 2004, Legos was filing bankruptcy. They were $1 billion in debt because their business had collapsed. And this is what happened. The CEO of Legos stood up right before they filed bankruptcy and said, I'll tell you what we need. We just need to start again. Let's just put the past behind us. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this business and we're going to just start over. And this year, Legos is the fourth largest toy producer in the United States of America. I would say the CEO that said, let's just clear the board, let's start again, and let's see what could happen. I think he had a pretty good idea. Sounds like he made a good decision. From $1 billion in bad debt and a collapsed company to the fourth largest toy producer in America, he made a good decision. You know, all Christians from time to time seem to need to just clear the board and let's start again on some things. No Christian has ever fulfilled their New Year's resolutions that they've made to God. So they need to renew some commitments to God from time to time. No one's ever kept all their vows. Thank God he's a God of a second chance. God tells us story after story of those who experienced a new start. God is a God of a new start. God is a God of restoration. God gives us hope of continued opportunity to serve him. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, he tells us that God came to Jonah a second time and gave Jonah a new start. Let me ask you, do you possibly need a new start in some area of your life? I think this sermon could be applied in a couple of different ways. First of all, let me say to everybody in here, God offers you a new start. Then, I think if God would offer me and you a new start, it might be wise that you and I offer someone else a new start in life. It's the beginning of the year. I thought, you know, this is a good time. Maybe someone needs to be told. God wouldn't mind just taking an eraser and kind of erasing the board and saying, let's just start over. Hey, if the CEO of Legos was smart enough to say, things aren't going real well, let's clear the board. We know how to succeed. Let's just clear the board, even the odds here a little bit. Let's just start again and rebuild his company. I think God can do that in our lives. I think God knows what he's doing. I call the sermon a new start. Just a new start. In the Bible, some of the greatest heroes of the Bible and the ones that we would exalt are people that got off track at some point in their life. And then God came along and offered them a new start. Then others offered them a new start and they accepted it. And now they're biblically famous and partially as a result of the new start. So you stay with me today. I'll show you some stories in the Bible where God said, how about a new start? I'll help you. Maybe you just need to do what Legos did. And you need to just decide, I need a new start at this. For instance, Jacob had a new start when he went back to Bethel. Now, Bethel is the house of God. I read this verse to you a moment ago. Genesis 35:1 says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Here's Jacob's story. Jacob fled from his brother Esau and met God at a place called Bethel. Asleep, with his head on a pillow of stone, Jacob has a dream, and he sees a ladder reaching into heaven with angels coming and going. And Jacob said there in Genesis 28:16, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. There at Bethel, Jacob vowed to the Lord. He said, God is going to be my God. He vows to give his tithe. He vows to get right with God. The word Bethel means the house of God. So, Jacob made a decision one day. He said, I'm going to serve God. Well, over the next 10 years, Jacob had a few ups and downs. He gained some property and he grew a family, and at least one of his wives began worshiping an idol. Two of his sons, in a murderous rage, assassinated an entire male population of a city. Everywhere he turned, things were going falling apart. And what happened is, Jacob got backslidden. He got backslidden. And God spoke to this backslidden Jacob and tells him, get back to Bethel. Now, where was Bethel? Well, that was the house of God. So God offers Jacob a new start at the house of God. You know what? Somebody here today needs to have a new start at the house of God. You need to get right with the house of God. Church used to be the highlight of your week. It's not anymore. Now you come if you feel like it. You know, folks, you're not supposed to come to church if you feel like it. You're supposed to come to church if God feels like it, and He does. Church used to be that highlight of your week. Do you now look and create excuses for not coming to church? Some of you need to study the word faithfulness and see what it actually means. You can be glad God is not as faithful to you about your salvation as you are to God about the house of God. Because you'd be saved and then not saved and then saved and then not saved and then saved and then not saved and then saved and not saved. No, God said, I will be faithful to you to the end, 24/7. When I save you, I will be faithful to you. Do you now look for and create excuses about not coming to church? You know what you might need? A new start. We have to. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I've not been faithful to God and I've not been faithful to church like I should be. I just need to make the decision. I'm going to clear the board, I'm going to have a new start, and I'm going to start being faithful. You know, God's people ought to also offer folks a new start at church. If somebody is not faithful to church, be careful how you treat them. You know, if somebody's not faithful to church, they ought to be encouraged. And I'll tell you, this is, to me, it's such a tragedy. Some people, they just don't know how to handle themselves. Somebody's fallen out of church and then they come back. So you meet them at the front door and there's a crowd standing out there and you say, "Hell, brother! Long time no see! Look what the dog drug in!" You're an idiot. That's the exact thing they didn't want to hear. They wanted to be treated decently and with some dignity, and you just embarrassed them. The whole reason they didn't want to come back was the fear that the church idiot would be standing at the front door to hypocritically nail them to the wall when they get here. Hey, but some people need a new start. There might be somebody here that needs to do what the CEO of Lego said. He said, "We just need a new start." You may need to look this issue of coming to church faithfully right square in the eyeball and say, "You know what? I've not been faithful to God, but you know I am going to be faithful to God. I just need a new start." You say, "Well, I might be embarrassed with my wife or with my kids if all of a sudden I think church is important." Best thing you'd ever do is set a good example to those around you about coming to church. Nobody who sincerely wants to come to church should hinder somebody else from coming anyway. Hey, do you need a new start? Jacob did when it came to returning to Bethel. Maybe you just need a new start, like the corporation of Legos did, and then they became more successful because of it. Not only that, Jonah, he had a new start about obeying God. I read to you again Jonah chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. Here's the story of Jonah. You've heard it before, but it bears repeating. God came to Jonah and commanded him to go to preach to the great city called Nineveh. But Jonah disobeyed, and he ran from God. He ends up in a city called Joppa. He pays a fare on a ship and starts his journey to a far country because he's running from God. God prepared a storm that would sink the ship. The sailors on the ship called upon Jonah, who's asleep at the bottom, said, "Help us with this thing." Jonah confessed. He said, "Well, part of why we're in the storm that we're in is because I've been disobedient to God and I've been backslidden." And he said, "What do you think we ought to do about it?" They grabbed him and threw him overboard. I'd not ask people what to do during a storm. You might be the one to get thrown overboard. They cast him into the sea, and God had prepared a great fish or a whale that comes and swallows him up. And he gets right with God. And he promises to obey God. Now that whale, while Jonah's in the whale's belly, that whale ends up barfing up Jonah on the land. And the word of the Lord, the Bible says, came to Jonah a second time. He said, "Now, Jonah, I told you to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh." This time Jonah said, "You know where I think I'll go? I think I'll go to Nineveh." And that's what happened. God gave Jonah a new start regarding his obedience to God. Someone here, You may need just to make a decision today, like the Legos Corporation CEO did when he said, "You know what? This isn't working. I'm going to scrap this thing of disobeying God. I'm just going to start obeying God. I'm going to start again." Hey, and Jonah wasn't one that had not, he had known something about God. God came to him in the first place and said, "Look, I'm going to send you down there to preach a revival." But he said, "No." Listen, thank God God gave him a second chance. And God will give you a second chance to obey the Scripture if you'll just take him up on it. Someone here, you feel like you're in the whale's belly. You've disobeyed God and everything around you is falling apart. Do you know what it was like in the belly of that whale? Rotten food. Not just rotten food, stinky fish. Fish, hey, it can be so delicious, but when it's rotten and it's stinking, it is putrid. That was in the whale's belly. And if you're not careful, you'll have a putridity in your life. And you'll have a stinky life if you're not careful. Why? By disobeying the word of God. You say, "What do I do?" Maybe you need to say, "You know what? I messed around with this thing, dabbling with obeying God. Let's just clear the board. And starting today, with God's help, I'll just obey the word of God." But God will give you a new start. You used to want to obey the Sunday school lesson. You might need a new start. You used to want to obey the commandments of God, but not so much anymore. You need a new start. You used to want to obey the leading of God in your life, But not so much anymore. You need a new start. You used to want to obey the Bible that you would read. Now you don't even read it anymore. You used to want to obey the preaching. Now you just criticize it. You're just looking to find something wrong. And I'm telling you, folks, you need a new start in regard to obeying the Bible. Hey, somebody needs a new start in regard to your obedience to coming to church. Somebody else, you need a new start in regard to your obedience to the Scripture and to the Word of God. But not only that. Moses had a new start. Moses had a new start concerning helping people. I'll read to you from Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. It says this, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Here, God appears to Moses, offering him a new start in helping people. Huh, what an encouraging event it was for Moses. Now let me tell you the story of Moses and how this applies. Moses was reared as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a Hebrew. His people were slaves to Pharaoh. He decides to join and help. Moses wants to give up his life of luxury and go serve his people. I'll tell you what happened. When Moses gives up this life of luxury to go and serve his people, in anger, he kills an Egyptian. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 12, "And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." So Moses, he knows that God wants him to serve him. But Moses messes up. He kills a man. His plan to help people now must be delayed because of his behavior. He knew God wanted him to serve him. But Moses killed somebody, and the next thing you know, he has to flee to the backside of the desert. Actually, it's the desert of Midian. After many years on the backside of the desert, God speaks to him again through a burning bush. God gives Moses a new start. God gives Moses another opportunity to help people in his life. Hey, and let me tell you something. He succeeds in a great way in helping people thereafter. But you need to understand, God wanted to use Moses in the first place, and Moses messed up his life. He murdered someone. He messes up his life. He escapes to the backside of the desert. He's there for a long time, but thank God, one day God said, "I'm going to send a burning bush, and I'll give Moses another chance to help some people." Somebody here today, you need to get back on track about helping people. Part of your problem is you're so self-centered and your life is all about you, 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 you. Hey, you ought to salvage your life for the sake of other people. There's some dad in here that ought to become a good Christian for the sake of your wife and for your kids. There's some mom in here that ought to knock it off and live right for the sake of somebody else. It's not all about you. You say, "I don't care how I live my life." You ought to care how you live your life. You ought to live your life right because there are people that need you to live your life right. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about the lost. It's all about people that need someone to show them to Jesus Christ. And Moses had it. He did what Moses wanted to do, and God said, "I'm going to have to put you on a shelf. I'm not going to be able to use you for a little while." But thank God, God looked out and God said, "Look right there, I'm going to start that bush on fire." And God spoke to Moses out of the bush, and God basically said, "Moses, you were self-centered. You did what you wanted to do. You messed up your life. It's time to get back on track. I'm going to give you a chance to help some people." Next thing you know, he's leading 3 million people through the desert. Somebody here needs a new start in regard to helping people. Somebody here needs to get their eyes off themselves. So, hey, you know why we live in sin? Because it's what we want. The reason you don't clean up your life is because you want something and you're in it for you and what's best for you. And everybody here that wants to be a decent Christian, you better do what's best for your wife and do what's best for your husband and do what's best for your kids and do what's best for God and do what's best for the lost. But we become self-centered. We become all caught up full of pride and a desire to please self. And you will mess up your life 10 times worse by pleasing self than you ever will by serving other people. But somebody here needs a new start in regard to helping people. You need to win souls. God offers you a new start. Hey, there are people in here. You used to tell others about Jesus. You don't anymore. You need a fresh start in regard to serving people. Hey, somebody here, you used to work in the nursery. You don't want to anymore. You know what you need? You need a fresh start. You used to work the bus ministry. You don't anymore. You need a fresh start. You used to teach Sunday school. You don't anymore. You need a fresh start. You used to have a servant's heart. You don't anymore. You need a fresh start. You used to invite people to church. You don't anymore. You need a fresh start. You know what somebody in here needs to do? You need to say, you know what? I'm backslidden in regard to helping people. I think I'll do what the CEO of the Legos Corporation said. Right before they went bankrupt and totally destroyed themselves, he said, let's clear the board. I've made a decision. We'll just start over. Let's just give it a running start. Let's try again. Somebody in here, you need to try again. You need to try again in regard to your desire to help people. And you need to try again in regard to obeying God. You need to try again in regard to this thing of making sure that you're faithful to church. But not only that. There are people here just like Samson. Do you know that Samson had a new start concerning the power of God in his life? We know the story of Samson. Listen to this verse. Judges chapter 16, verse 28, it says, And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me tell you the story of Samson. Samson's birth was foretold by an angel, much like the birth of Jesus Christ. Samson was later in life filled with the Spirit of God to aid him in judging Israel. The Bible says of Samson, more than any other person in the entire Bible, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I mean, it says about Samson over and over again that the Spirit of God had come upon him. With Samson's bare hands, he killed a lion at one point. At one time, he fought and killed 1,000 Philistines using the jawbone of a donkey as his weapon. He was so powerful, he physically carried away the gate of the city of Gaza. When the Spirit of God was upon him, nothing could withstand him. He gave up God's power when he started a relationship with a harlot named Delilah. He tells her the secret of his power. As a result of it, his enemy, the Philistines, come upon him and they take out his eyes and he becomes powerless and a captive to the Philistines. They put out his eyes and chained him to a mill. And he was out there like an oxen, just grinding at that mill, walking around the mill, just around and around and around. Now, here is that man that was one of the most powerful men on the face of the earth. His eyes are out. He's chained like an animal to this mill. And one day, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take old tough guy Samson, who is now powerless. We're going to take old tough guy Samson, and we're going to take him down to the Colosseum, and we're going to use him for some entertainment. Well, you know what? All the time that Samson was on the sideline, because Samson had messed up his life, Samson had not done what Samson was supposed to do, so he hadn't been being used of God. Samson was out there, and all the time that Samson was walking around grinding, they would chain him at the big mill where they would grind the wheat or grind the corn. Samson was walking around. He was blind. He was helpless. He was weak. Samson's hair had begun to grow back. Samson had been getting himself right with God. I think Samson said, God, I am so sorry. What a mess I've made of my life. I've gotten in the flesh. I've just not done the right thing. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not helping people. I'm not in church. I don't read my Bible. I was just a mess. I don't know why I let this happen to me. God, I'm going to get some things straightened out. God, if you'd give me one more shot at it, if you would give me your power just one more time, I promise you, I'll use it right. I won't mess it up. They took him down to the Colosseum. They were going to have some fun watching the powerful ex-big guy for God get tortured in the Colosseum. And Samson calls upon God. The Bible says in Judges 16:28, And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God. You know, he said, give me one more chance. Give me your power back in my life one more time. You know what God did? God gave him the power back. The Bible says in verse 30, And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. You know what happened? Samson had the power of God on his life, which was very important to him. The reason you get in any mess that you get yourself into is because you were in the flesh, not in the spirit. So he loses the power of God. Now, God said, I'll give you another shot at it. And God did. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a new start in regard to the Holy Spirit and your life? How many times have you said, you know what, I want to do what the Spirit of God would have me do? And I might add this, the Spirit of God will always tell you do what the Bible says. These wackos that will go out and do something contrary to the Bible and say, well, God led me. God never leads contrary to the Word of God. That would make God a hypocrite, and God's not a hypocrite. But you know, there are some people in here, you used to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You used to use the altar. You used to have a tear in your eye. It used to be that the Spirit of God would speak to your heart about taking a $5 bill, putting it in someone's hand to tell them you wanted to buy them a cup of coffee or some groceries. You're not like that anymore. You're not sensitive to the Spirit of God anymore. You're dried up. You live in the flesh. Matter of fact, you just know too much. Because there's some of you, you used to depend on the Spirit of God to do the work of God. But ever since you learned how to do the work of God without the Spirit of God, you'll just do it in your own power. You'll do it with your own brain. You'll do it with your experience. Well, the worst thing that ever happened to you then is your experience. God should have kept you timid and backwards, and God should have kept you stupid and simple. Instead of you becoming so spiritually bright and capable that you're going to do God's work your way. It's to be done in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I love what I see happen here. Samson said, give me one more chance. Give me the power of God back. I'll use it. And he did. Some of you used to be concerned about being filled with the Spirit of God. You're not anymore. You know something that'll make a church go well? You expect that the pastor will stand up and have the power of God on his life when he preaches. That's what people want. They want a preacher that'll stand up and let the Spirit of God control him. They want a preacher that preaches it and preaches it right and preaches it decent, and a preacher that they could bring their friends to hear preach and be proud of it. You know what? Preachers want congregation that the preacher can be proud to brag to the city about the congregation. You know, you expect me to walk out of my office and walk into this pulpit having walked with God and prayed and read my Bible and the Spirit of God to be on me. Well, you know what I expect? I expect you to walk out of the parking lot and walk into this building having been filled with the Spirit of God. I expect you to listen in the Spirit of God. I expect that you would serve God in the Spirit of God. Hey, being filled with the Spirit of God is not just for the man of God. It's for every born-again Christian. There's some of you, you used to serve God in the Spirit. Now, if you serve Him at all, you do it in the flesh because you know so much. Somebody here, you used to be as timid as you could be about being involved in Sunday school. You were petrified to be a teacher, an assistant teacher, a bus captain, or assistant captain. You were scared to death of it. You'd go to God and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to have to help me. You know what? He stepped in and helped you. But you know what? You don't need to do that anymore. You don't go to Him and say, oh, God, help me to do this right, because you now know how to do it. And the worst thing that you ever did to yourself was learn how to do it and then phase the power of God out of your influence in your life. Somebody here needs to say, I just need to get back to walking in the Spirit. God let Samson have another chance at it. A new start in regard to walking in the Spirit. Hey, Peter had a new start. He had a new start at being used greatly of God. Acts chapter 2 verse 41 says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let me tell you the story of Peter very quickly. He was at first the chief of all the apostles. Jesus is arrested, and Peter, his courage fails when they're dragging Jesus away. They had arrested Jesus, and Peter was warming his hands by the devil's fire, if you will. Someone said, hey, Peter, aren't you with Jesus? He denies that he knows Jesus. He actually curses and lies. And the Bible says, though, that Peter realizes what he had done, and he walks away weeping bitterly. Yeah, he had planned on quitting serving God altogether. And I'll tell you why. I think he'd embarrassed himself. He even told some people, he said, I'm going fishing. Now, what is fishing? Fishing was Peter going back to his old life. Can I tell you all something? There are people in this room, your body might be in church, but your mind is heading towards your old life. You can fool people, but you won't fool God. And not only your body ought to be in church, but your spirit and your heart ought to be in church too. But Peter, he said, you know what, I'm going fishing. In other words, Peter was saying, I'm going back to my old life. But God gets a hold of his heart. At the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets Peter again. And at this meeting, Jesus fills some of Peter's nets with fish. Peter said, I know who that is. Now, you understand, he's backslidden. Matter of fact, the Bible says he'd taken his clothes off out there in that boat. And the farther you are from God, the more your clothes you'll take off. Amen. And Peter looked out and he said, you know, I know who that is. That is Jesus. And what happens is Peter gets right with God. You know what happens next? God uses Peter to preach. They're going to have a special day. You call it Pentecost. Do you know that special day came? That miraculous day came as the result of Peter getting a second chance. A second chance. You know, at one time you were used of God. Not so much anymore. Do you need a new start? Do you need a new start with God? Are you now used of the devil? You used to do good deeds, now it's evil deeds. You used to bring folks to church, now there are people that'll stay away because of you. You used to be used to encourage God's people, now all you do is discourage the people that get around you. You used to keep people's attitudes positive about God and positive about the Bible and positive about the things of God. Now you're negative. You used to build the church. Now, if you're not careful, you'll destroy it. You can be used of God again. Just ask Peter, though. Do you need a new start in regard to accomplishing things for God? I'm just about done. But let me tell you, I'm so glad that the prodigal son got a new start. He got a new start. Luke 15:20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The story is this. This boy lived happily with his mom and dad and brother. His pride overtakes him. He demands his inheritance and he walks out of a decent home, a decent, obedient home, and he goes out and just wants to do his own thing. He leaves home, he leaves, and when he does, his life falls apart. Let me tell y'all something. Every time you take a step away from God, you will mess your life up more and more. More and more, and I promise you it'll happen. You say, I'm lonely serving God. You just wait. You don't know what real loneliness is until you get further and further away from God. You say, I hurt. You just wait. You'll hurt worse out of the will of God than you've ever hurt within the will of God. But this young man, he decides, he said, I'm going to take the money. I'm going to go. I'm going to do my own thing. And he does, and his life falls apart, and his money falls apart, and he ends up in a pig pen eating the pig's food. And he comes to himself and he realizes, I have blown it here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to my dad and I'm going to get this all straightened out. Hey, thank God that in the Bible we see a story where families give family members a new start. Every husband in here, you be prepared and always willing to give your wife a new start. Say, she hurt me! Well, you ought to know what you did to God. Every wife ought to be willing to give her husband a new start. What would happen if we just had the good common sense of the CEO of Legos that said, you know something, we're bankrupt, we've made a mess, we've got a mess on our hands, why don't we just, let's just clean the slate and let's try again and become the fourth largest toy producer in a matter of just a few years. Somebody that produces toys has a brain that size, I guess us as Christians could do the same thing. There's some parent in here that needs to give your child a new start. There's some child in here that needs to give a parent a new start. Hey, and by the way, we are the family of God. The family of God ought to give people that are members of the family of God a chance at a new start. If you're not careful, bitterness will develop in your life. Things that you used to believe, you won't believe anymore, and I'll tell you what's blinding you. It's pride and it's bitterness. And bitterness is a poison. It'll poison you. It'll poison your thinking. It's what ruins marriages. It's what ruins families. It'll tear up a Christian family. Bitterness. Hey, listen, it's a sad thing when family members won't help each other through difficulties. Sad thing. And same thing for the family of God. Very sad. Backslidden people can get a new start. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody here, you need to come back to God. You need a fresh start. You need a new start. Have you lost your joy, Christian? Maybe you need a new start. Have you lost your peace? Maybe you need a new start. Have you lost your feeling of usefulness for God? Maybe you need a new start. Are you spiritually defeated? Maybe you need a new start. Are you backslidden? Maybe you need a new start. Are you now surrendering to the temptations of life that you used to despise? Maybe you need a new start. Have you developed into a powerless Christian, a fake, a fraud? The smile is only painted on there. And by the way, you say, yeah, and that's how it's going to stay. You're a rebel against God then. You're going to ruin yourself. You might need a new start. Have you ignored God's leading in your life? Maybe you need a new start. Say, what do? You just come to Him. Say, Lord, I want a new start. And He'll give you one. He'll say, okay, let's do this. David asks for a new start. He said, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Folks, our God is a forgiving God. And God's people who are right with God are forgiving people. You can't be right with God when you won't forgive. You can't be right with God when you don't forgive. There are marriages in here that have suffered for 20 and 30 years. You're not right with God because you don't truly forgive. The fact that people suffering 20 years later over an incident that happened so long ago is ridiculousness. It's ridiculous. Look, you need a new start. Don't let your pride stop you. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let embarrassment stop you. Don't let fear of man stop you. Don't let your fear of failure stop you. Somebody needs a new start. Somebody needs a new start in church. Somebody needs a new start in serving God. Somebody needs a new start about the Spirit of God. Somebody needs a new start within your family. God throughout the Bible. You look at all the greats. These are people, do you realize, these are people? Jacob, we brag on him. Moses, great guy. Samson, a powerhouse. Peter, what a man. Jonah, do you know that every one of their ministries that is so predominant and influential in your Bible storytelling, every one of them are the result of a second start. Every one of them are the result of someone saying, you know what, let's just clear the board, see if we can clean this mess up, and let's make another go of it. Somebody here needs a new start for God. Start your year out right. Dedicate yourself to serving God. I'm done. But if you're here today and you're not saved, I can get you a new start. Wow. Do you know that because of our sin, we have messes in our lives? But Jesus said, if you'll ask me to come into your heart and save you and be your Savior, I will clean you up and I will, He said, I can make you a new person in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. One of the greatest things you could do for yourself if you're lost is get saved. That'll give you a new lease on life. Your sins will be forgiven. Do you need a new start, Christian? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you need a new start? The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again. Well, maybe that's what you need. Maybe you need to get saved so your sins can get forgiven and you can get started in this new life that God makes available. Who here would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Who here could raise their hand and say, I am. I'm saved. I know. I won't lie to God. I won't lie to you, preacher. I'm not going to lie in the house of God. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? God bless you. You put that hand down. Is there somebody here that would say, preacher, I do need a new start in some area of my life. I need a new start. And God helping me, He's spoken to my heart today. Who would raise your hand and say, I need a new start in some areas. Maybe with a spouse, or maybe with my children, maybe in the Bible. I just need to clear the board and let's try a new start. And you say, God's spoken to my heart. Lots of hands up. Many, many hands up everywhere. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Maybe it's church attendance. Maybe it's in your Bible reading. But you just need to say, like the Legos CEO, he said, you know what? Let's try this again. Clear the board. Give me a new start. Let's see what can happen. You know something? God will clear the board with you if you'll let Him. We're going to have an altar call. Some of you need to leave your seat, need to come down here, get on your knees and say, you know what, God? With your help, I'm going to take advantage of the new start. I'm going to do better, God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to show up in church. I'm going to do the right thing. Some of you need a new start with God financially. Say, I've robbed God. Get it right. Just get it right. Say, from here on out, I'm going to do it the right way. If you need to be saved, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need a new start? Do you need a new start, Christian? Do you need a new start in your life, in your family, in your marriage, with your parents, with your children? You used to enjoy church. You used to enjoy preaching. Now you just tolerate it. A new start. I need a new start. Do you need a new start about your church attendance? Do you need a new start of you being used of God? Do you need a new start in regard to the Spirit of God? Remember when you used to be sensitive to that Spirit? Somebody needs a new start in regard to your concern for people and helping people. You used to care. Now your life's just all about you. Brother Edwards, do you need a name taker? Okay. And Mrs. Owens, just get the name right off the bat. You can finish up the rest of the information in a moment. And thank you, Mrs. Young. Folks, you can have a seat for just a moment, please. Okay, this is San Hua. Did I say that right? Okay, if you'll stand up for me, San. San today, he's 8 years of age, and in children's church, he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. So we congratulate you. That's very, very good. And honey, I'll let you finish this now. All right. In a moment, we're going to head back for baptism, but let me say one other thing. You ever do something and say to yourself, oh, if I could take back one day, or oh, if I could take back that week of my life or that year of my life, oh, you know what you're looking for? Fresh start. Here's a good thing about God. He said, I can't eliminate what you did, but how about you just take me up on the fresh start from here on out? Can I tell you something about the will of God? The will of God is always from today forward. The will of God doesn't go backwards. See, I'd like to have God's perfect will in my life and make it perfect from here on out. Everything God has for you, He intends in a perfect way. Everybody here ought to say, you know what? I want to do what God wants me to do from here on out. We can't change the past. We can learn from it. Let's take advantage of this new start. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Let's all stand to our feet. If you're getting baptized, you'll meet us over at the baptistry area in just a moment. And there are, let's see, Katie Andrews and DeAndre is getting baptized, and Richard's getting baptized, and Ariana's getting baptized, and San Y is getting baptized. And we're going to dismiss. We'll head that direction. We'll wait just a few minutes while the candidates are preparing. If you want to stay for baptism, you may. If you don't, that's just fine. That's no problem. But we'll slip out of here. And there's not enough room for us all to get in there. So you have to use that scripture, first come, first serve. You know, you ever heard someone say push and shove in Christian love? If you want to see, you better get over there because it'll get packed out. Thank you for being here today. We sure appreciate you coming. Brother Armstrong, why don't you raise your voice and ask God to bless our baptism.